Get on the train and ride it.
Choo choo.
Get on the train and ride it.
Choo choo.
Is there more to that song?
If you feel like dancing, oh, come on. It's up to you.
Oh, yeah. You don't know the song?
Keep it going. Keep it going. Jock jams.
I was about to say, didn't you have jock jams, bitch?
Who didn't?
Oh, I love that.
Welcome to the Real Awkward Podcast, the best damn podcast you've heard
today.
Today. My name is Andy.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Ashley.
And I am going to break tradition, and I'm dating this mother sucker.
You're going to date who?
This podcast. I'm dating
this mother sucker.
That's a new thing. I'm dating it. I just wanted to wish everybody a happy 2024 because I made a mistake and didn't have an episode prepared, and then I got sick, and then for the first year of 2024, I missed an episode.
Sorry, guys.
We should take a year off. Let's see how that works. So anyway, anybody who's coming who listens to us religiously, we appreciate you. And I'm sorry I didn't have an episode out. I am no longer sick. I feel better, and I will have episodes out going forward.
But now you have pressure, because now it's like, if this episode doesn't come out for a few months, people are going to be like, how early do these motherfuckers record episodes
and release them?
He just put it on himself.
I don't even care anymore.
This week.
Actually, I'd appreciate that, to be honest, because it'd be good. New year, new us. I don't know.
New year, same bitch.
New year, same real awkward. Amanda, you have something special for us on this episode,
so
correct?
So special. Mm-hmm. She's worked her ass off.
Whoa. It's so special that I had an idea last night and then completely forgot all about it. So last night, as I was drifting off to sleep, as I do, my brain tends to wander. And I had this idea that I thought we could do like weird but true stories. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it would actually be a fun one, that if you guys like doing it, I actually would like to do a lot more of these, mm-hmm. because there's so many more stories that I want to get into. Mm-hmm. I love the... Mm-hmm,
yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Ash sounds mm-hmm. like you don't give a shit.
Well, you know, it makes people feel really important when you continue to acknowledge what they're saying throughout the conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'm just mm-hmm. trying to really, you know, emphasize
it. I just find it annoying because mm-hmm. in my right ear, I just keep hearing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. So you said you have how many things?
Are these strange but true facts about you?
Yeah, that'd be boring.
Man is like, I have a finger growing out of my anus.
Ugh, no.
Strange.
Do you think I would
true.
Share that information?
I don't know.
Maybe. Who would share that?
You're like, oh, okay. That's a tale.
it's like tangents and a lie.
Okay.
Sort of related, not really. The shit people tell their hairstylist.
Oh yeah!
I know shit about people that I.
Can we do a series?
Yeah, therapy sessions with Amanda.
Things oh, people told me this week in the chair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Amanda's like, I don't. I'm no shrink. I don't have a confidence.
Oh,
confidentiality report.
You know what? You know what? We should do one of like. I'm gonna have to think about it and like make sure they stay really anonymous, right? Because I don't want to like share anyone's information. But just a teaser. One time, I was doing. One of my clients was the ex-wife of a woman that one of my other clients is married to.
Ooh.
And the like ex-husband, ex-wife situation was volatile.
Ooh.
And so one day I was putting the pieces together that I was like, oh shit, I do the ex-wife
like,
and the wife.
Please put me in the middle of this.
And, well, I realized because they would both talk shit about each other.
That's
and
awesome.
Then I realized one day that we're talking shit about, they talk about each other. And I was like blow drying her hair. And I put it together and I just like stopped. And then I was like, tell me more.
I just like, imagine like in the movies where, what was it? The Hangover, where like all the letters
the
and numbers like rush
That's
back
exactly
your head
what it was.
As you're thinking about it.
That's
yeah.
exactly what it was. I was like, wait a minute. Your name is this? And in my head, I'm like, wait, your name yep. is what? And your maiden name was this? And your ex-husband's name was what?
Mm.
And I was like, excuse me, ma'am?
Somebody should be Batman.
People tell me they and people I like just meet, not people who have been doing their hair for years, because those people tell you everything.
Right.
But the people you just meet, even just like info dump on you. And yeah. I just, and like, you take it in, and at the end of the day, it's like, I almost need a shower to like get everyone's dirty laundry off of me. Okay. This woman would come in, and she told me she was getting her hair done because she had a date with a guy. And then she goes, well, my husband doesn't know about it. Blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, oh, this makes me uncomfortable.
You're like, dang.
I didn't want to know.
And Amanda's like, I'm going to make you look real pretty now. Oh,
I have done the hair of not one, but two different sex workers. Ooh. My job is wild some days.
That's wild.
So I'll what have to have names? A day. I'm not telling. I actually don't remember. What is their website information?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just I'm just curious. That's all.
So I just want to make sure they're okay. No, we'll have to do one day where it's like confessions of a hairstylist.
Oh,
like,
be funny. Whatever. I love it.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Anywho, that's not what this episode's about. I just have like five stories that sound made up, but they're real.
Okay.
That's kind of where I'm at with it.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, have you ever heard of the Kentucky meat shower?
Absolutely not. What the hell is that?
It sounds like from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
You should guess.
Kind of.
What do you think it is?
The Kentucky meat shower?
I mean, I'm telling you right now, it sounds
like a meat packing plant blew up.
Yeah. I'm going to go... vulgar, and it's like a sex term,
like Lorena Bobbitt fan club or
like
something.
I'm gonna Kentucky meat shower you, girl. Just wait.
I'm gonna cut my dick off and throw it at you.
That's weird. It's weird. That's a one time, by the way. You can't do it again.
Well, I mean, talk to Lorena Bobbitt's husband.
He's
apparently not
high class.
He's a porn star.
Was I don't know if he's still doing it.
Oh,
anymore,
who
right?
knows? Who even knows if he's still alive? Okay. So the Kentucky meat shower was an incident occurring for a period of several minutes between 11 and 12 o'clock in the afternoon on March 3rd, 1876.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
So some of your ideas are now no longer
invalid. Was Kentucky even part of the country at that point?
Oh, who even fucking knows? Okay. Not me.
My sources say.
I love out of the whole story, Ash just wants to know if it was part of the United States or not.
It became a state in 1792.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good. I was about to be like, I'm not going to look it up. I don't care about Kentucky.
The more you know.
So, what appeared to be chunks of red meat falling from the sky in a small area near Olympia Springs in Kentucky. On... That day, a farmer's wife named Mrs. Couch was making soap on her porch when she saw pieces of red meat fall from the sky. She said they were about 40 steps from her house when the meat started to hit the ground. Her and her husband believed it was a sign from God. Like, that's what people
It's like the
it
gods
was.
Must be crazy.
I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So, yes. Basically, because, I mean, can you imagine? Like, 1800s, right? So, there's no... news. There's no one to call.
There's no planes up in the sky.
Right.
And they live on a rural farm. So there's probably also no neighbors that they can see their house.
Right.
All of a sudden, you're making soap, which like whatever, bitch. But like you're just on your porch and then just like meat falls from the sky.
It's weird.
So, and that's the thing. 1876. So there's no airplanes over the top. There's no like commercial meat truck that maybe got in an accident and exploded.
What was that Jordan Peele movie where the alien would they would suck things up and then they would drop them.
That
would
have been it.
And all these forks are falling from
the
sky.
Maybe it was a catapult, like someone catapulted a cow.
Yeah. Most of the pieces were 2 by 2 inches, like roughly like 2 inches by 2 inches.
Okay. Like actual cut, like cubes?
It's unclear, but like the pictures I've seen online, it's like preserved, so you can't tell.
Okay.
But like none of the stuff I read said that the pieces were like cut, like expertly cut.
Okay.
They just said they were roughly 2 inches by 2 inches.
Sure.
There were a couple pieces that went up to about 4 inches, but mostly small chunks. According to news articles at the time, two men who tasted the meat thought it was lamb or deer meat. So the two men volunteered to just eat mystery meat that fell from space.
I'm sorry, but in that year,
that time frame,
your food's, you got to find it.
When in Rome. the gods valid. Blessed me, might as well eat this meat.
Valid. So after some testing was done by like local scientists, you know, which like there's not that much testing they can do at that time, but the meat was identified as lung tissue from either a horse or a human infant. Apparently,
because those are the same.
Apparently, like under a microscope, they look almost identical.
What the hell?
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
A few years later, the composition of the samples that were gathered were analyzed, and they were thought to be believed the meat either was, they identified the meat as being lung tissue, muscle tissue, and cartilage. They said that it could have been from like a lamb, a bear, a horse. Like they were like, we don't exactly know where it came from. So, they still have no answer to why this happened. There is no answer.
There is an answer. Aliens abducted a frickin' bear or a cow up there, tested on it, and then just dumped the pieces.
Yeah. So the local explanation is that the meat was vomited up by a group of like vultures or like buzzards.
Oh, I see. Okay. That makes sense.
Because basically vultures, when they're in like a group, if one of them starts to vomit, all the other ones will too.
Interesting. So a group vomit session over this farm.
Yeah. Apparently it's a defense mechanism when they're threatened that vultures will like completely vomit the contents of their stomach just so they can quickly get out of there.
Okay.
Huh.
That honestly sounds the most probable of what could happen.
So this is why people in Kentucky only eat chicken.
Fair enough. Can't blame them.
The history should be on the banner of KFC.
Yeah, and honestly, that is the mystery of the Kentucky Meat Shower. It's not a long mystery, but that's, it's like...
crazy.
Can you imagine, like, all of a sudden, meat. So, weird weather phenomena has happened forever, right? Where, like, crazy-sized hail or, like, weird stuff happens. Even in some places, there has been... reports of like fish or frogs like raining down, and people think it's like, you know, the Bible.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I've heard of that.
What can happen a lot of times with that is what happens with that is you have like those helicopters or like planes that'll go scoop up water from a local water source.
Right.
And then they'll dump it to like water large fields or a fire or whatever.
Right.
And they accidentally scooped up a big school of fish or a big group of frogs or whatever.
Yep.
And then that'll just sort of get transported to wherever they go. Mm-hmm. But none of that happened in 1876, right? So the idea of just this random meat falling from the sky. And I was reading it and I was trying to find more of like the interview from the people who witnessed it, the Couch family.
Yeah.
And they don't say anything about seeing anything, hearing anything. Like, because I was like, if I was at home and all of a sudden a big group of vultures flew overhead.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You whether feel or like not you'd hear I could, it or see it.
That's my thing, was maybe you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
But like you'd see a big group of birds fly overhead and then meet.
Yeah. You two and two together. There it is.
Right. That's the Kentucky Meat Shower.
Well,
was it? Right. It's obviously not what you expected it would be.
No, I don't. I mean,
how could you assume that was the
but
story?
Also, like, it's funny because when you think of meat shower, you think of like an entire city getting meat fallen, and it was really just like probably this little area around the house or something like that. So, it does make
I feel like
more
you could
sense.
Really start utilizing that phrase in like some sort of. Like idiom or euphemism and be like, oh, don't get stuck in a Kentucky meat shower. Like,
let's just start. Let's bring it back. We're bringing it back. See if it works.
It does have a funny, like, Kentucky meat shower. Gross. I think it's just Kentucky is a fun word to say, so then anything after Kentucky just works.
I think meat shower is the fun part. I don't know.
Fair enough. Ugh. Fair enough.
I need a real shower after talking about
Seriously.
This.
Seriously. Okay, so question.
Oh.
What were George Washington's teeth made out of?
Wood.
Teeth.
Well, that's the true answer if you're talking about all teeth. But it was supposed to be his front teeth.
Elephant tusks.
But I thought it wasn't real wood. It was something else. Didn't we look this up recently? Because
not recently.
Yeah. So, or maybe not. Maybe some comedian went in and started talking about, like, George Washington's teeth are on display.
They are.
Right?
So he has multiple sets of dentures
Okay.
that are on display in different museums.
Right.
I actually have a picture that I, when we post the episode, I'm going to post a couple weird pictures with it.
Yeah, okay.
No, you won't.
That's nice. I'm going to do my best, okay? I'm going to do my best.
Don't be calling her out.
So basically, some of the dentures are full sets. Some are like pieces.
Right, okay.
Obviously, due to the times, a lot of people had poor dental health, right?
Right.
There was really very little dental hygiene. And then I guess just like also genetics and like lifestyle. By the time George Washington was sworn in as president, he only had one tooth left in his mouth. was his tooth.
He looked like Herman from Roger Rabbit, like just that baby.
Can you imagine somebody with one tooth running a presidential campaign?
I can. Can you imagine? Like, listen, my fellow Americans. I'm George Washington.
Vote for me. So basically, like, yeah, he had a lot of like.
God damn.
He had a lot of like bridges made where like it was just sort of like teeth attached to like random pieces of wire that would just attach to his teeth. Mm. But so he had several sets of false teeth. None of them were made out of wood.
Right. That was just like the lore.
So where that comes from?
Well, so the idea stemming behind it is that whatever his teeth were made out of, which I will get to, but they were stained, and so they looked like wood.
Oh.
The majority of his teeth, especially in the beginning, were made of ivory.
Right.
So elephant tusks, you know, rhino horns, all that stuff, because that had the closest bone material.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that old ivory kind of splinters and cracks, I could understand if it was stained and discolored, it would look like wood.
That makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
So I can 100% believe that that happened.
So there's right?
Yeah, well, no.
Oh.
I mean, yes and no. But so the elephant tusk thing is correct, that he did have fake teeth made out of ivory. But the majority, so sorry, we're about to take a darker turn here. The majority of his false teeth were... so basically, okay, sorry, I'm going to read my paragraph because I wrote it. His first set of false teeth were made of ivory that were attached to his remaining teeth with just pieces of wire. His later false teeth were full sets made of lead, gold, and brass screws.
Dang.
And so his teeth look like these like metal, like,
why has nobody made a movie about George Washington's
teeth?
God. Well, when I'm about to tell you what I'm about to tell you, that you can understand why.
All right.
The real thing that the majority of his false sets of teeth were made out of were teeth from slaves. Ooh. So
like
basically,
borrowing other people's teeth.
Borrowing is a very nice word.
Oh, sorry. He ain't giving them back.
So, in multiple ledgers, he would write down what he paid people for and stuff. And there's lots of different writings of him paying certain amounts of money to slaves for multiples of their teeth. George Washington owned many slaves. He was very pro-slavery. And it is reported that a lot of the slaves weren't asked for their teeth.
I imagine.
Just like the overall torture of that.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't need to go into detail to describe to you that the lives of the slaves were mostly horrible. But the basically he would like there the a few of the times it was written in the ledger, he would pay like £6 for 9 teeth. And okay. So his dentures, now it has been figured out that just like by people examining them, the dentures that he has that are made of human teeth, they are from multiple different people.
Got it. Wow.
So he, crazy. It's not even like he just took somebody's whole tooth. It's right. Like, I'll take a few of yours and a couple of yours. I want
that tooth and that tooth and that tooth. Yeah. Dang.
So, yeah, I was, Washington
was brutal, dude.
So I actually didn't know about the slave teeth. I knew that he did not have wooden teeth. And yeah. I, for some reason, always thought they were sheep teeth. I don't know why, but like sheep? That was like from sheep.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know why, but that was what I always thought it was. And I knew ivory, but, and so then I was looking it up and I was like, oh, that's more fucked up than I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I wish they were wooden.
Right? Yeah. Let's go back to them being wood. Another one that is sad but true is in the same vein, a lot of slaves were used for lots of other things. And in a lot of turn of the century or, you know, early before the Union stuff, a lot of furniture there, especially if it came from the South, instead of down or any type of cotton being used to fill the chairs, it was actually hair that was taken from the slaves.
Ooh.
So
I would like to hope it wasn't scalping, but I can imagine.
No,
there was some
not, like, no, like oh, there's okay. not like, no, it's like they were
like
basically
shearing a sheep.
Like the same thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Probably like hair, Afro style.
Well,
like,
their hair was completely cut off and just used to fill couches and seats and stuff
well,
like that.
Well, and this is not condoning it, but I am saying like that hair texture seems perfect to fill a pillow or something like that, right? Like my hair will not feel good to lay on, but like a big fluffy afro.
Well, it's not as solid as you think it is. Like it's.
Well, no, I don't think it's like they're cutting dreads off and throwing it in the bag. I just mean, like, maybe we should move on.
yeah, okay. I was going to tell. I was trying
deep
to, like,
can we dig this hole?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, listen, playing devil's advocate here.
Oh, my God. No. Okay. Let me just boilerplate this message just so nobody comes after us. Slavery was bad. No. Okay,
and
moving
at no
on.
Point did I say that it wasn't. I'm just saying soft hair. Okay, let's move
Lots
on.
Of
I'm
not gonna say. Locks God. Of love.
Okay. Okay, new story.
Locks of
Jesus
love.
Christ. Jesus Christ. Albert Einstein's brain. Okay. Albert Einstein's brain was stolen after he died.
Why? I've heard that this is true. This is true, right?
It is true. Yes. All these stories are true, Andy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not a true or false quiz.
It's called Strange But True.
I imagine the scientific community was like, we must find out what was going on in his mind.
Was he really as smart as like people think he was?
Yeah, but he was also socially awkward. So I think it was like a hard... Like,
is he autistic?
Everyone is these days.
I was about to say, bitch, it's a spectrum for a reason. Yeah. We all are. I always, like, whenever I, like, get weird at work, I, like, jokingly or, like, at home, I'll be like, I don't like this. And I'll be like, it's a touch of the tism. And it's like, honestly, it's called a spectrum for a reason. Okay. Anyway, in the 19th century, the brains of people thought to be geniuses were often preserved so that scientists could try to determine the origins of their intelligence. Mm. So, like, it would be, because there was no real testing or anything they could run, like, on right. a computer.
Right.
But they would compare, like, the frontal lobes or, like, certain parts of the brain sure. to see if they could identify, like, oh, this part of your brain is larger or whatever. There was no actual evidence that was ever, like, substantiated. But that was, like, the running theory at the time, that if someone was smart, you need to save their brain. So apparently Albert Einstein knew of this
procedure.
Jesus.
Yeah, this.
He knew of it. And yeah. I guess when he was dying, he like he absolutely forbade anyone from preserving any of his body. He wanted to just die.
Right.
So he died. Albert Einstein died in 1955. The pathologist who examined his body after death was Dr. Harvey. Dr. Harvey, on his own, just decided to take Einstein's brain out to study it himself.
Got it. He's like, no one's going to stop me.
So, but he knew that like everybody, he knew that it would be bad for him if he did.
Sure.
Yeah.
So Harvey took Einstein's brain home, as you do. And
as you do in the 50s.
He divided it into 240 pieces.
Whoa.
And stored it in two mason jars filled with preservatives. Not too long after all of this, Einstein's son, Hans Albert, found out about the brain being stolen and apparently like approached Dr. Harvey, was furious about it. Somehow Harvey convinced him to let him keep the brain.
Wow. Okay.
Because of all of this, Harvey loses his job at Princeton. That's because that's where he worked. He loses his job and his wife leaves him. And so he's all on his own. He moves to the Midwest and basically becomes like a small town doctor because nobody really knew who he was over there. He kept Einstein's brain for the next several decades. At one point, he stored it in a box underneath a beer cooler.
What the hell?
Okay. So he kept it because he kept hoping that like science would advance.
Yeah, where you could figure out.
Yeah, they could unlock Einstein's brain.
Got it.
Really, he just wanted to create a Frankenstein.
I think, yes.
Yeah.
Abby Normal.
So.
Cute.
People kind of just forget about it, right? You forget about Einstein's brain being stolen, whatever. Like, people move on, right? So, 1978, a reporter tracked down Dr. Harvey in Wichita, Kansas. And then it was figured out that he had the brain, right? So the magazine article brought a ton of requests for samples from scientists asking for pieces of Einstein's brain to study them themselves. So 1985, scientists began publishing their findings. Some of the studies claimed that Einstein's brain was different than that of like a normal person. But there aren't really any solid scientific facts found in any of this research.
Well, he cut it into 240 pieces. Like,
well, and I mean, it's been in essentially like alcohol for 30 years. Like, there's probably not
right. If much... it's not normal, that may have just been from the time.
Yeah.
The time that it passed.
I wonder, did he slice it like ham? Or did he slice it, I wonder, like cubes?
In my brain, like, in my mind, it was little cubes.
Yeah.
Well, she said he put it in two jars.
Right. So obviously it wasn't like a...
I guess if you sliced it thinly, like roast beef.
Do two
and
halves.
And then just take two halves and put each of those...
I wonder if brains taste good. Have you guys ever tried brains?
But I feel like you would do a cross section. I don't feel like you would do a cube.
Yeah, like
that would just give you a piece of the matter, right, but it wouldn't give you like a idea of the whole brain.
Yeah, 100%,
that was why I was 100%. Like 240 pieces. I feel like it would be better to try and preserve it as a whole or half and half. Like,
I wonder how thin. Like, he just threw that shit on like a butcher like carving.
I'm telling you, thing. It was like Arby's roast beef.
Yeah, like Quiznos Quiznos sub because it's yummy and it's mummy and then Albert Einstein Quiznos sub.
Hey, Quiznos sub.
Exactly.
Stupid.
Exactly. R.I.P.
Quiznos. R.I.P.
So,
Quiznos.
Little rats.
What today? The only all that's left of Einstein's brain is at the Princeton Medical Center in New Jersey. No one is allowed to see it. Not Whoa. Even researchers who work at Princeton.
That's crazy that they still have it.
Yeah, it's apparently just like under lock and key.
Is it actually preserved still? I wonder.
Assumedly.
Yeah.
So, but according to these researchers, there are not 240 pieces of brain. Apparently, Dr. Harvey would just give out pieces of Einstein's brain to friends.
It's like, hey, man, you want to come over for dinner? Here, you can have this. What is that? No, Albert Einstein's brain.
As a housewarming gift.
Yeah, great conversation topic.
Apparently, he had a habit of giving pieces of it away to people who were curious.
That's so weird. But also, I might do the same thing. Hey, man, I got Albert Einstein's brain like in this box. You want one?
Like, want, I mean, I can imagine it being like, hey, you know what this is?
Yeah.
Einstein's brain. And then when people would be like, what? Oh, my God. He'd be like, you want a piece of
you want, yeah, you want a piece? They're like, kind of.
You want some? You want
kinda.
Some? You want some? You got to bring your own jar, though. So yeah, that's all that story is. Like, dang. It's in Princeton now, and that's it.
That shit's crazy.
It's wild.
I wonder if there's any photos of it.
Not that I know of.
It probably looks like a brain.
I bet you're right.
I was going to say, I feel like it would just look like...
It has a mustache on it.
Ground meat in a jar.
That's like, how I imagine with like it being terrible preservation, that it's literally just mush.
It's just like a slightly browned, like shriveled up.
Like, you know, what a lung looks like when you'd smoke too much.
Like SpongeBob when he's out of the water too long.
I don't need it.
2 weeks later.
Well, that story was relatively interesting.
Got him.
Just a theory, though.
Okay.
We make ready a good for the- team. We should get married.
Ready. Okay. I have a story about World War One.
Oh, boring. No, I'm just kidding.
No, this is a good one. Okay, I want you to guess what dumb thing happened that was the start of world that essentially started World War One.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Let's see.
Because I don't think either of you are like war people.
Wait,
right?
Where did World War One start?
World War One was also a Germany thing.
I mean, like, it's always Germany. Germany is just the world's bad
Germany
guy.
And who?
I mean, not anymore.
World War II was the Hitler, like, German Nazi, whatever.
Germany.
But World War One was like, oh my God, I'm blanking on the name because we were actually allies in World War One with Russia, right? And
so,
World War One.
Yeah, so basically, I will tell you that this story has a lot to do with like Eastern Europe.
Yeah,
like Europe.
Yeah, yeah. Because
this story completely takes place in like Europe.
Wasn't it Stalin?
Europe and even like Eurasia.
Yeah, I swear it was like Stalin and like Poland or something. It's like somebody wanted to like take over some shit, which started World War One. But I wonder if it was like something dumb, like they like stole their neighbor's cat, or like
yeah,
you know,
ate
like
their sandwich, or
yeah, ate their
hit on someone's wife,
yeah, like freaking accidentally like switched pants or something in the locker room, just like I'm sorry, those were my pants,
stepped on their shoelace,
yeah, right. Amanda, hit us. What started World War One?
Essentially, World War One was started by a driver accidentally turning down the wrong street.
Oh, like went into the wrong side of town?
My
yeah,
bad.
Well, okay, yeah. So let me tell you. Okay, so this one's a little wordy, but, you know, here we go.
Okay.
World War One, just to, you know, sum it up, about 40 million people died. Okay.
Way to bring the room down.
I mean, I was talking about slaves earlier, okay? How can I bring it down any worse?
Ash said locks of love. Hashtag 2024, real awkward, canceled. All right.
God.
Locks right. of love seat.
So,
God. Dang it.
So
some dudes driving down the road.
Okay, hold like on.
40,000 people yeah, died.
In Kirshmanistan or whatever.
Okay, so basically... have you ever heard of the name Archduke Franz Ferdinand?
Yes,
and
I
we're
have.
We're not talking about the band.
No, but that's where
no,
it came from.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Well, that's where the name came from. Yes. So, Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife Sophie visited Sarajevo in June 1914, which is kind of now where Bosnia is.
Right, okay.
And it came at the time of really heightened tensions between like the Austria-Hungarian Empire. Yes,
that's right. That's what it was. Hungary. Yeah.
And Serbian nationalists.
Yeah.
So like while this is all happening, there's a lot of student activists that are like forming.
Okay.
And there's a handful of them, but one of the bigger ones was called Young Bosnia.
Okay.
And they wanted to fight for the end of military control in the countries, their country.
Okay.
So the Austro-Hungarian government knew of the danger posed by the group like Young Bosnia. Franz Ferdinand wanted to visit Sarajevo anyway. And he was hoping that it would ease the tensions and like bring people closer together, blah, blah, blah. So because he was coming, the newspaper decided it would be a really great idea to publish his travel route in the papers before they arrived.
Ooh, got it.
So on the morning of June 28th, 1914, seven members of the Young Bosnians waited to ambush Ferdinand's motorcade. There was like multiple vehicles. Okay. And you can see a picture of Franz Ferdinand and his wife in their motorcade.
Okay.
Franz Ferdinand, in all his wisdom, had been traveling in an open-top convertible.
Sounds familiar.
So, the plan by the Young Bosnians was to throw a bomb or like, you know, some incendiary device.
Molotov or something. Yeah,
in the car as they passed by.
Got it.
But that morning, it was a little drizzly. So the top of the convertible was up.
Oh, got it.
So the attempted assassin tried to throw the bomb anyway. It bounces off the top of the roof and rolls under the car behind it in the motorcade.
Ooh.
It explodes and it injures two soldiers.
Okay.
The would-be assassin immediately surrenders and was immediately taken away, and everybody was all like a sigh of relief because they were like, oh, the assassination attempt failed.
Right.
Okay.
Boy, were they wrong.
Yes. Later that day, after the explosion, Franz Ferdinand, again, in his infinite wisdom, decided that he wanted to go visit those wounded soldiers.
Uh-oh.
So they hop back in their motorcade. On the way to the hospital, the motorcade went down the wrong side street and stopped right in front of a random deli, just, you know, to let traffic go through.
Yeah.
And you know who just happened to be standing right there? A different member of Young Bosnia.
Oh.
So he pulled a pistol out of his jacket and he fired two shots into the car, and one shot killed Franz Ferdinand. One shot killed his wife. And the two of them being killed directly led to why World War I started. Right.
They were essentially like the martyr for that whole.
Because like, the fucking driver turned down the wrong street.
Dang. Crazy.
That blows my fucking mind.
Yeah, and I know that, like you said, tensions were high. And then essentially the way wars start is you just start getting more and more people as your quote unquote ally.
That literally was the straw that broke the camel's back. Yep. There was so much other shit happening that when that all happened, it was sort of just the final like, okay, we're done. Like, but that blows my mind. I mean, could you imagine being a terrorist, just being a terrorist, but could you imagine, being a terrorist who they tried to already kill this motherfucker.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Right.
Most people will be like, okay, we got, okay. All right. We're going back to the drawing board.
Regroup.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, don't worry. Chuck's at the deli just in case.
Right. Right. Okay. Everybody regroup. Well, Chucky's at the deli. Like, and then could you imagine being that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who like, he's just standing there probably just like waiting for a sandwich, smoking a cigarette. And all of a sudden you're like,
oh, wait a minute.
Yes. And it, part of me wonders, like, I mean, obviously Franz Ferdinand probably didn't know who this kid was.
No, no.
But could you imagine if you were this kid, you'd be, you'd just be like, oh my God.
I don't know what to, get.
Can you imagine? Sylvester
and Tweety were brothers.
Can you imagine if you were the guy driving that car?
Oh.
And you were like, oh, shoot.
Darn it. Well, you know what?
You just like slunk away into the shadows.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, literally. It's just one of these. Just like.
Dear Lord.
Could you imagine?
Dear Lord.
The driver was never found.
Literally. Oh my God. Are you? I mean, someone had to kill that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the final little story I have. You guys probably already know this one.
Oh, okay.
But for those at home, there was once a video game so bad that it was buried in a landfill and forgotten about.
Oh, I know. Ash, can you guess what that one is? So a game.
It's something that like ended up coming out.
Old game.
Yeah.
Okay. Should I give her like what console it was on?
Here's what I'll, Did you say that already? I'll give you a few things.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. 80s, Atari, it was released.
And the story is it was so awful that it was the game known to crash like the video game industry back then.
Yeah, it truly killed the video game hype for a really long time.
Like, I will even tell you, 1983 is the exact year.
I literally have no idea.
It's also, the game was a licensed game.
It was after a movie.
Yep.
Cool.
She got nothing, Amanda.
I got nothing.
Hey.
Okay. Okay, so.
Phone home.
Alia.
Alia.
Okay, so. The story of the Atari ET debacle is a classic tale of corporate mismanagement. That was from Wikipedia. I just really liked that sentence.
I like it. I liked it.
So early 80s, Atari controlled 80% of the entire video game.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Like business, which was like $2 billion+ at that time. Okay. So like, because Atari had Pong, Centipede, Missile Command, which were like the games to play, right? They had just released Raiders of the Lost Ark for the Atari, which was like the tie-in from the movie. And it got like decently good reviews. And so there was more emphasis put into making tie-in games with movies. So Spielberg's next big movie was E.T. So he approached Atari to talk to them about making a game that ties in with the movie. The Atari president paid $21 million in 1984, whatever I just said, 1980. He paid $21 million for the rights to the game. So he needed to sell 4 million copies just to break even.
It's a lot of scratch.
Okay. So in order to pull this off, Atari determined they needed to have the game ready for the Christmas season. So the only, you know, issue with that is Atari acquired the rights to E.T. in July.
So, yeah, I want to say it was only like 12 weeks to be able to get the game done or something like that, right?
The game designer had 5 weeks.
Oh, my God.
To make Atari.
To make E.T., yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He had 5 weeks to make E.T.
Right.
Can you imagine? I had it earlier, but I had actually looked up how long it took to make Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I think Raiders of the Lost Ark took like 9 months just to make the game itself.
Right. Let alone 5 weeks.
Let alone printing and selling it and all this stuff. So the game originally was very hyped. The anticipation was great. People were like ready to buy it because they were excited. But then very quickly, people realized that the game sucked. It was confusing. E.T. would just fall into random holes. He'd get stuck.
yeah.
He had these like weird neck movements that just like would not work.
mean, all of those things sound accurate.
Yes, yeah. Very much so.
And then, like, in some, you'd, like, stretch E.T.'s neck, and he would just keep stretching. Like, I mean, you can go online and look at the game.
The bugs were aplenty.
Oh, bad.
Yeah, and the instructions on how to play the game aren't great.
Oh, I mean, there's nothing. Yeah. I mean, because how could you imagine having to make a video game? Even back then, the games were really simple, pretty repetitive.
Right.
But 5 weeks to code all that shit?
I was going
to
say, in their time, that development would have felt the same, you know, as now, just because you would have had less knowledge around it anyway. So,
and they don't have like a copy and paste format.
Right. Right. Yeah, you're coding
every
single bit of that. So
they're writing all this code. And, like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
So, the game, I mean, E.T. is a regular on lists of top worst games of all time.
Yeah.
Like, it's constantly on the list. So, at the end of the day, how many copies did E.T. sell?
Andy, I'm going to throw this one at you.
You don't have to know for sure. I just want you to guess.
Wasn't it something only like 11 million or something like that? Like, it wasn't.
Well, they have to sell four to break even.
They have to sell 4 million.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was 400 million. I'm sorry. I apologize. So what, like 10,000 copies is all they sold or something like that?
What do you think, Ash?
I threw it to Andy. Don't look at me.
I'm just saying yes. Okay, fine.
The game sold
2.5 million copies.
Oh, I mean, that's still not bad. That's not bad.
All right. Yeah.
Yes, but I read a little thing because I was like, how many got returned? Like how much?
Sure.
But there isn't any information on that. But so it's already a financial failure, right?
Right.
So with like millions of unsold copies of E.T., Atari decided to just bury them in the desert in New Mexico.
Just like a landfill back there.
Yes.
Right?
And what a wild, how wild is that?
Yeah.
Like they literally could not give them away.
Right.
So Atari apparently tried to keep it quiet that they dumped all these games.
Right.
But it got reported in the New York Times. And it kind of was forgotten for a long time because it happened in the 80s. Nobody wanted to talk about it anymore. So it kind of just like was an urban legend almost for a really long time.
Right.
Or it was sort of just like this hot idea of like, and they were never seen again, you know? And they were a distant memory until 2014. A documentary crew found the dumping site and excavated it. Only about 1,300 games were able to be like recovered. And because there was like cement poured on top of them. Like they did. Yeah. It literally was like they never wanted these games to see the light of fucking day. So 1,300 games were able to be recovered in one way or another. And like, if you look up pictures, none of them are like pristine. Some of them look pretty good, but like, yeah,
what
a lot of them have
words
like
now, even like not being pristine or like playable or whatever. Like I can't imagine.
It's very rare.
Were.
Yeah.
A portion of them was given for curation and then the rest of them were auctioned off to raise money to, build a commemorative museum at the burial of the game site, like the site of the burial.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So are there still copies of E.T. like in circulation?
Yeah. I mean, if they sold 1.4, you'd still have stuff.
2.5.
Or yeah. Sorry, 2.5.
Yeah.
You'd still have tons. Honestly, we might have a copy at work. I don't know. Yeah. It'd be crazy.
Let me see. Let me look. eBay.
It's funny because I know when Riggs and I were talking, at Really Rad Weekend, his hot take was that E.T.'s not actually a bad game. That was his hot take. So I think it's kind of interesting.
I mean, honestly, you could buy one on eBay for under $30.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So you could still get a copy of E.T., but not one from the landfill. That's probably different.
If they were trying to hit that short of a deadline, there was a lot of hype around.
Oh, sure.
E.T. in general.
Well,
so
E.T. itself was a great movie.
Right. So imagine just the disappointment.
Yep.
When you're like, oh, I loved this movie. I'm so excited to play this game. And you're just like, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you imagine? Oh, okay. There's an E.T. cartridge recovered from the dig site.
Okay.
$16,000.
Whoa. Yeah, but then I would
you can
imagine.
Literally get another one for $30.
Yep. yep.
But okay, I could bury it in my backyard and cover it in cement.
Yeah, I would imagine people would go after it just because of the nature of what had happened. So
I'm surprised it took that long to dig them up.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. Well, nobody knew exactly where it was.
Oh, so well, how'd they figure it out then?
I don't know. I want to find the documentary.
Yeah,
but yeah, apparently they found people, like New York Times reported on it. So then the documentary crew talked to those reporters who then gave them people in New Mexico to talk to. Like they literally just like figured it out. But
it is funny that they buried a alien themed video game in New Mexico.
In New Mexico.
Oh, okay. So Atari : Game Over, the documentary, 2014 documentary/mystery. And it was produced by Xbox Originals. So like Microsoft produced it, and it literally, that is the documentary, Atari Game Over. And it has like a picture of the ET version, Atari version.
Yeah.
Oh God. That's what it looked like.
Yes. It was awful. Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Director Zach Penn. So you can watch it on Tubi right now, apparently.
Oh, really? I genuinely am going to watch this.
Cool.
So anyway, so one thing that was interesting is Netflix has a series called The Toys That Made Us or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that's honestly an amazing series if you're interested in just like old school toys or like they have an episode about like Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, all kinds of shit.
Yeah,
like
He-Man. Yeah.
Yeah, they have an episode about the Atari where they then talk about E.T.
Yeah.
I think it's an episode about just like video games in the 80s. Doesn't matter. Anyway, they talk to the game developer.
Right.
They talk to him and he's like, it was awful. He's like, I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
He's like, I did the best that I could in the time that I had. You could tell, you feel for him.
Yeah.
Because you're like, man, this man is vilified. When in reality, he was failed by his company.
Like the guy that killed the video game industry at the time.
And he goes, and he's like, how could I have made a game in 5 weeks?
Right.
He's like huge game studios can't make a game in 5 weeks with hundreds of employees. How could one man do it?
I'm still impressed that he even got something out.
Well, I think he kind of took the code from like Pitfall almost and then kind of like played with it a little bit.
Sure.
But like, man, you feel so bad for him. I'm absolutely going to watch this documentary.
Yeah. I think it's worth it.
What game do you guys think should be thrown into a pit in New Mexico?
Minecraft.
What'd you say?
Minecraft, Fortnite. Throw it into a pit in New Mexico.
We're going to have to revisit the Fortnite conversation.
Oh, no. Don't tell me you're into Fortnite.
I've been playing it with
my coworkers. No, it got her.
Throw Amanda in the pit.
I'm trying to think of a game that was just like,
you know what the one that instantly came to my mind was? Horrible.
What?
Farmville. You remember like the stupid Farmville. Facebook?
I kind of remember Farmville.
I don't know why.
Is there a game that you've played that you just thought was awful?
Oh, man. I mean, that's hard for me because you know that like I don't have the nostalgia for all those retro games.
Sure.
I'm like,
ugh. All the NES stuff. She's like, get out of here. It's awful.
But I think it's hard because, okay, like aside from the fact that I now play Fortnite, argumentatively, like Fortnite, Minecraft, those games, like even like for me, Call of Duty, the games that you're like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like they're still solid games.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Like
yeah.
E.T. was so bad because it didn't work.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah,
I would say
that's
like
true.
That's true. I would say like that one Assassin's Creed video where there was just like floating eyeballs because the guy's head hadn't ported in.
Yeah, the Assassin's Creed Syndicate when it first came out was so bugged and broken that you could barely play it.
That's the thing now. Yeah. Like if there's bugs in games now, they just patch them.
Yeah, and you get fixed and whatever.
Well, that's what blows my mind is like now you have games like what was it? No Man's Sky.
Oh, so what's crazy, No Man's Sky, I wish they did like a documentary on this. It is a redemption story. So
now yes, it's really fun.
Yes. Like, but now but that the they put is- in 2 years of their own money to fix the game that they promised to everybody in the first place. So,
that's what it is. Is yeah, they had to do all this extra shit
yeah,
just to deliver the game that they overpromised on.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
And so it's like, no, you should have just shut your mouth.
Yep. Yep.
And said, I don't know, it's gonna be space. Figure it out.
Yes, no, you give all these detailed promises and then all of a sudden yeah, people are like, oh, this game's kind of shit. Well, actually,
it's the same thing yeah, when the Fable games would come out, right? Like Charles Molyneux or whatever the hell his name yeah, was of Lionhead Studios would be like, oh yeah, you're gonna be able to do this and do this and do this and do this, and the game would come out and maybe one of those things would happen.
Yeah, it's literally still like, just a Zelda clone.
Yeah, and yeah, he'd be like, right, and he'd be like, how can you possibly expect us to be able to do all that? And you're like, because you said you did.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what? Lego Indiana Jones.
It's because the
throw
monkey.
Throw that one in the pit.
The monkey
oh,
section.
Oh,
where they're driving on the Jeep yes, and he just keeps getting beheaded oh, over and over again, and you can't jump over it, and you can't go under, and you can't do anything, so you're just repeatedly beheaded.
Yes, yes.
That, you know what?
Throw it in a pit.
I vote. I second that.
That's
vote.
It. We've just said it on the podcast. You guys heard it here first. Lego Indiana Jones is going
into the pit.
Well, Amanda, I appreciate you telling us five strange things that are oddly true.
Stranger.
What it was.
Than fiction.
So what was the weirdest thing out of the five? What do you got?
Meat storm.
George Washington's teeth slash miracle grower. What did you say?
Dude, you can't make these jokes. You cannot. They're not funny. And more importantly, they're going to get us in trouble.
We're kicking off 2024 right. What about you, Amanda?
Hey, a whole war started from someone going down the wrong street.
Yeah,
okay?
It did. Yeah, it did. Amanda, out of all your research, were you like, damn, that's weird?
I mean, I knew all these stories already,
yeah,
so
that's fair.
They weren't like, wow.
To this day, but I still think like a goat in the bathtub or whatever in that one state as a law is the weirdest
thing. It was a donkey.
A donkey in a bathtub.
In yes, Nevada or something yeah, like that.
Not allowed. Yeah. Not
Arizona allowed, or some.
It was New Mexico.
Everything. Yeah, by the way.
Oh, God, probably.
Our listeners, if you're like, what the hell are you guys talking about? Go back and listen to our weirdest state laws episode because that was a good one.
That's a good one.
Fantastic.
Did you guys like these strange but true stories?
They were so strange but true.
Not at all. This is a terrible episode.
Yeah.
All right, mm-hmm, cool. Well, my rejection dysphoria is about to make me cry, so thanks for that.
Amanda.
That was good.
Amanda, where can people send you a terrible message about your awful idea?
You know what? Let's just both not do that. if you want to come hang out with us or tell me how great I did and how you're not mad at me every 20 minutes, come check out our Instagram at Real Awkward Podcast. We also have a TikTok at Real Awkward Podcast. Patreon.com/Real Awkward Podcast. Get you exclusive episodes and maybe some other stuff. I'm not entirely sure. And then definitely check out our state laws episode. And then recently I re-listened to our breakfast episode, which just randomly came on one day. And that one's a banger too. So go listen to that one.
Banger breakfast episode. I like it. Okay. Yeah. Happy 2024.
Sure.
He's saluting in case anyone can't see.
Yeah, no one can tell. All right. Bye, Rubes. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello, Real Awkward listeners. The Real Awkward podcast turns 3 this year. That's right, 3 years of fun, entertaining content for you guys. And we cannot do it without listeners like you. If you guys want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/Real Awkward Podcast. For $3 a month, it gets you access to exclusive shows, merchandise, and name shout outs on the show. We also will take your suggestions for show topics. Thank you so much for 3 years, and we look forward to many more.